The first piece is a Rambam Mor Nevuchim. It's really continuation. It's the middle of a piece where he speaks about Karbanis. And the way he explains Karbanis is that they're just a means to wean people of Avodah Zarah. And he now is dealing with the issue whether or not it's appropriate to say that the Torah would go round and about and so on. In other words, the tachlis of something would be, you know, a roundabout thing rather than a straightforward. See, the Rambam says, "Vani yodea shenafsho tibach mezenye." I know you're going to be upset with it. "Vechreach b'tchilas machshava." It's sort of your mind is going to rebel against the idea that the Torah can actually be coming for a purpose that doesn't seem to be the direct purpose, but rather sort of roundabout. You're going to ask me, how can you have mitzvahs and all sorts of halachas and so on that have very clearly defined times, halachas, and none of it is coming for the purported purpose, but they're all there to bring about something else? It's as if a trick that a Kadosh Baruch Hu made Lagiel Kavanos Hashem to get us back to his first Kavanah. So yes, for Ezim Oneir Etzel Yisparach Letzavason Kavanos Hashem, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just say, direct, do this, this is what I want. V'yitav Bani Yecholos the Kavla, and he will also give us the emotional, mental, and psychological wherewithal to actually do it. Lehoya Tzorach Le'elu Asher Chashavta Shem Altar HaKavanah Shniyah, and he wouldn't need to engage in all sorts of activities that are roundabout. That's the question. So the Rambam meant, Shema Tshuvasi, Asher Tosi Milipcho Ze'acholi. Listen to what I say, listen to my answer that will help your heart get rid of this, and calls it a choli, as if it's sick, there's something wrong with your approach, you just don't understand it. Behu, he says, Shekvar Ba B'Torah Kmo Ze'inyin B'Shaveh. The Torah Mefurish says something that's very similar. Behu Amro, and it's our pasuk. V'lo nocham elikim derech eretz plishtim ki karov hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take him through plishtim because it's too close. V'yosef elikim esom derech amid b'yamsov, and instead he took them roundabout through yamsov. So the Rambam says, and it's amazing what the Rambam found in this psukim, which pasuk kind of is dry psukim. He says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu detoured us from the direct route because he was scared that we wouldn't be able to tolerate the battles and so on, that our nature couldn't tolerate what we needed, the challenge, and so he rather took us roundabout to a different route till we got back to the first place, to where he wanted us in the very beginning to go to. So too, in the mitzvah, in this mitzvah, which he's dealing with specifically by Korbanis, because he was scared that we couldn't accept it, our nature was too—it was too immature to accept Avodah Hashem without Korbanis. So this was a roundabout way to get to his main intention, which was the hearing of Kadosh Baruch Hu and leaving go of Avodah Zarah. And then he says, just like, and that explains why it was against our nature to sort of drop Avodah Zarah and embrace monotheism so quickly. He says, he compares it again to us. Just like it's not in the nature of a person who was born as a slave, schlepping bricks and so on, and then he should wash his hands and run off and do battle with great soldiers. And that's why in our parasha, they had to go roundabout and so on. So too, he says, it's not within his nature to be engaged in all sorts of activities that have become so ingrained that they're almost our natural activities, which means Avodah Zarah Karbanis, and he should just drop them. So Hiram says it's parallel, just like the not being able to engage in battle because for 200 years they had been servile and very subservient and kind of meek, they couldn't go to battle. The same thing, a person who grew up with ideas and ideologies that are deeply rooted, it can't just drop them. And just like he says, it was Hashem's wisdom to take them round and about the midbar so that they become strong, because like it's known that going in the midbar and the ascetic lifestyle, that you know there's nothing available and so on, they tend to produce strength in people. And the opposite, a very indulgent lifestyle, a pampered lifestyle, tends to produce cowardliness. And also a new generation came up that wasn't used to the mentality of being a slave. And this was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do it, Rabbi Hashem Yachon, Rabbi Hashem Yisu. This is what Hashem told him to do. So too, in this Chelek of Torah, which is referred to Karbanis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to stay with certain activities that they were used to, so that they attain Emunah, and then at some point they may later be dropped. Now, so the Rambam learns from our parasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the explanation to some of the directives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu may lie in a roundabout type of conclusion rather than the straight result. Now, he goes back to this question. B'sheilah, so you asked, why couldn't Hashem just give us the ability to change quickly and give us the mitzvah straightforward? So he says, well, let me answer the question. Jews always answer a question with a question. And I'll tell you, what stopped HaKadosh Baruch Hu from leading them straight to Plishtim and let him inject them with courage and military skill, and he wouldn't have to go round and about and everything? Then the Rambam says, as a matter of fact, I can ask a third question that's sort of the question is begging to be asked. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to pain us with Torah and mitzvahs, and you know, if you do good, good, if you do bad, bad? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that we should believe in Torah and do what it says, why didn't just inject us with Emunah and Asiyas HaMitzvahs? And then he wouldn't have to go through this whole parasha and give us the Torah and warn us and encourage us, etc., etc. It was all unnecessary. Because in truth, he says, the whole Torah and Mitzvahs is a system that's, you know, it sort of belies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, that he could do everything. If he wanted us to have Lulav and Esrig and go to the shul Lulav and Esrig, in Sukkot morning, we found out if we'd find ourselves marching to shul Lulav and Esrig, that would be the end of it. So he says, and the answer to all these three questions and all questions of the same ilk is that all of the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, even though they are a change of nature, but the nature of people, Hashem never changes through a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tamper with the nature of people. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it says, Mi yitim elov zalem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as if he were to wish that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ah, halavai, they would always have this Yerushalayim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not produce himself. And that's why you have mitzvahs and warnings and punishment and so on. And I've explained this in many places already. And it's not because Rambam says that I think that changing people's nature is difficult for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It definitely is possible. It's not in any way impossible, but that's not what he wanted to do. And in the structure of what we accept as the basic axiom of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want to change human nature. He wants people to change their own nature. I want to reflect on two or three things about this. First of all, what the Rambam is saying is the point of independence in the Bria that was left is man. Everything else is subject to nature, and it's subject to supernatural. So the Yam has a Teva, and the Yam has a Nes that somehow upends the Teva, and that's fine, and, you know, occasional Nisim. Man's Bechira is never ever touched, except Paro, who'll speak about it, obviously, and that was for a very specific reason, not to promote Paro's good, but for other reasons. But at any rate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes man, because that's the Chelek of the Bria that was left. The Tachlis of Adam is to be independent, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu never chooses to change it. Now, I want to add something else. The Rambam is saying here that I think in a big way, people's avodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be done in a slow way so that his nature goes along with it. Let's explain what the opposite is. Let's say you take somebody who's not from at all and you barrage him psychologically, you know, and you really, really move him hard and fast and into Shmiras HaMitzvahs. It cannot be said that that change is within the Teva. If the best muscle I can give is when a person has teeth that are crooked, and you put on braces and you apply slow, steady pressure, they will eventually fall into the place they're supposed to be in. If you take a hammer and try to bang them in, that's not going to be the result. Because Teva means within a process. And it's not only a gear of becoming frum, it's again an aliyah and avodas Hashem. Anything that is not a slow process that works with the person is going to work against the person. So one of two things will happen. It will either fail, or the person will be crushed, or the person will do it, but there's a sense that it's not natural to him. The so-called Baal Tshuva syndrome is when you see a person doing things that you feel he means it well and he's sincere about it, but it doesn't sit well in the person because there was no process where he grew into it. A Gartel and Rabbi Tam's tefillin on a Chassidus Yid looks perfectly in place, and if he doesn't wear it, you ask yourself, what's with the guy? A guy who's been from 6 months, a Gartel and Rabbi Tam's tefillin looks weird, and there's a sense of it. So it's as if the pe'ulas that he's doing is not an expression of his nature, but rather an abdication or something like that, an abrogation. Something where you kind of just left it out, and with a surge of adrenaline, you sort of overrode the person's personality. That's not the tachlis of avoda. Tachlis of avoda is that the person, his own teva, feed into it, and going roundabout way is appropriate. A person's nature is a given. It's something that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assumes as such, and he goes roundabout in changing him. And the same thing is true certainly for us in both in dealing with, in, you know, somebody coming from or somebody accepting mitzvahs and so on.
Yes, Rebbe.
Yeah.
Given this Rambam, why did Hashem have such a time on Klal Yisrael when they made the Egel HaZahav? I mean, they'd been out of Mitzrayim for 50 days. They'd had the Makos, but I mean, the Maisa, they were still.
But there is a difference. Clear cut of Avodah Zarah, as opposed to Karbanis, which are simply the way of doing it, is a big difference. For instance, let's say, I'll give an example. Let's say somebody converts from Christianity. So, not believing in Yeshu is the act of conversion. But if the person still, he likes, you know, whenever he hears something, he kneels, because it's a habit, because kneeling feels like a real avoda, we understand it will take longer for him to get out of it. One is dealing, the etzem yitzir sign was the destruction of the nekudah of avodah zarah, as opposed to karbanis, which is what the Rambam is dealing with, which is sort of, it's a means, but it's not clear why it's wrong, according to Rambam. Okay, let's see the next one. The next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he says a point about the general purpose of all the Nisyonos in the Midbar. v'da ki kol inyan Yisrael mekayim b'midbar hakol hayu nisayin gama. Everything that happened to Kaisel and Midbar was a nisayin. And what was a nisayin for what? Kidei sheyigdalu nafsham hasichlis padregas habitachon. They should grow in bitachon. Shusharis amuna, which is the root of amuna. Kidei shuruim lekabla Torah. In order that they should be mekabla, they should be mekabla Torah. That's why he says he split the yam as they walked through it, not in 1 second. In other words, every step was a nisayin. In Mara, there was water that became bitter and they needed to make it sweet again. The Mun was a nisayin. And then in Rephidim, it was again a nisayin. And Amalek came. All of these are nisayin. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech said, Lios b'Hashem miftacha odatichah hayoy maf'ata. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu be this, what you depend on is what I told you today also. Yoyma, Masha Daticha, Da Yoyim, B'Seif HaZeh, Musa Mishalim. Everything that I've told you, of all the Musa and the Mishalim, that I put in my Sefer, HaKol Hoye L'Toa Altecha, all of it is for your Toelis, U'Lagiyas Choshlemes Midas Abitochen, K'moy Shigati Ne'aleh. It just like I've reached it. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, summing up, in order that you depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've taught you everything I've taught you, and v'zeh shamaf ata, b'yelani, he explained to us that midas b'tochen is a big ikar in Torah mitzvahs. I want to talk about this. Midas b'tochen is a wonderful midah, but I want to speak more specifically about why it's so crucial and the point of it. Emunah in itself is Emunah in itself is sort of not, it's disintegrated, it's not attached to reality. It's just like if I sit back and I do intellectual exercises and I come up with ideas and the thoughts and back and forth, they are nice, but they don't really intersect in the plane of the real. These are ideas that we talk about back and forth and so on and so forth. Bitachon, emuna is the more intellectual part of it. Bitachon means that I really feel it lemaisa. In other words, if a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and gives the Torah and cheating is aser. But I cheat anyway to make more money, then my maisim tell me that on a physical level I don't really, it's not I don't believe the Torah, I don't feel it as part of the physical reality. It's an idea, it's a concept, it's good ideas, good concepts, but it doesn't have anything to do with real life, because in the real world, quote unquote, I don't have. If you cheat, you make more money. I want more money. Maybe someday HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a punishment, but that's it. Bitochen is the concretization of emuna, so that I deherit as the real Metzias. Dakdoma for Torah, believing in Hashem, is very nice and it's wonderful and it's emes and so on and so forth. Giving the Torah is bringing it into this world, that the divine ideas and ideals are engage the world in the following matter. This is Kedushin, this is Nisuin, this is Gerushin, this is Mazikin, this is Shechinim, this is Tefillah, and so on and so forth. That's what Torah mitzvahs are. And until a person doesn't have that sense that, yes, when you don't have water, water is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you don't have food, food is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until your sense of reality hasn't reached a point where mitzvahs and ideas and ideals are real, then you're not ready yet for Torah mitzvahs. I think I once said over the story and about there was somebody that I knew, I know actually, but when I was a young boy, perhaps 15 or 16. I know a man who lived in the area I lived. A very nice man who actually learned in yeshivas, worked hard, was a firm person, aruch person, worked hard. Parnas, I think, was b'tzimtzum, and it was kind of a big deal by him. His kids should have parnasas and so on and so forth. And his oldest daughter got engaged to somebody, a Baal Tshuva, a physicist. And he was very proud of him, and he told me, ah, so wonderful, the guy is such a mensch, he's so smart, and he has to know something, this and that. And he said, and now he's getting married, I gave him a certain amount of money that I had saved up for them. I want them to buy a very, very good bedroom set. And he told me, he said, you know, Dad, maybe, would it be okay if I used the money and learn in kol for 2 years, learn in yeshiva for 2 years? So this man tells me, yeah, I was very, very, very proud of it, and, you know, it's, I hear where he's coming from. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Kolel comes and goes, and after 2 years, it's gone. A good bedroom set stays around for a very long time. So I don't know if it's so wise. And I remember I was at that time becoming kind of very frum, so I was always going to put him to the kfira, I was going to have a kol kore. I didn't know yet what kol kores were, because I was in America. But I was shocked. So a person who's a maimon and is erechid, and I'm sure if somebody would point out to him, he would have been kind of rephrased himself. But the words blew it out. Yes, a good bedroom set made of solid oak is nitzchias. Kolel is gone the minute you finished it. You know, and that means the lack of bitachon in the sense it's not a real world. It's an ideal world. It's a world of beautiful ideas and truths, but not the real truth, the virtual truths. Now we have the word virtual, it goes well. So until the transition from being an am that was maimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu to an am that would get to our mitzvahs is that water is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and food is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and protection is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sense that that world is a real world and therefore Chayach Torah mitzvahs. The next Rabbeinu B'chaya will contrast quite interestingly with this Rabbeinu B'chaya. It says, "V'chamush olmei Yisrael be'etz Mitzrayim," that Klai Yisrael left armed. So he says, "The derech ha'pshat is that they were armed like soldiers." So he asks the kasha, "Avis kasha, v'afu pishen Yisrael kishar amim shetzichel is dayin kineg ra'idim." Even though Klai Yisrael is not like other umos, that they needed to prepare themselves with arms. I mean, that hug in the midbar was nisus, like you just got through saying. Derech ha'teir le'tzavos she snag other memikzas ha'teir mikra. Because Baruch Hu wants people to go along with tevedike ha'nhagas. Va'achake nifal ha'nes. Because Baruch Hu does not want the approach to be nes. Because Baruch Hu wants an approach that is that is tevedik, and the nes follows, and the nes follows within it. V'chein matzina HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua, simlecha orev l'yemachreel, have somebody in this, have an ambush in the back of the city. V'im melumde ha'nisim leflos l'mitzach l'orev, why do they need it, to have it in an ambush of us anyway in this? Eloi says, "Shirotz nator v'kach she'as adam derech ha'teva kol ma'aser lasos l'Hashem v'shamayim." The klal is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is to do what's natural to do, and the rest to be samech on the neis. Yes.
Rabbi, it seems to be a little contradictory within itself. On the one hand, he says, "Derech ha'teva l'tzavos she'is nehag adam v'miktzas v'derech ha'teva v'mikre." A little bit.
Right.
In the derech ha'teva v'mikre, and then later in the a couple of sentences later, he says, "The derech ha'teva kol ma'aser b'yad ha'asos." The person should do everything that he can do.
I think the general klal is, I think that that's the distinction between this versus no bitachon is the level at which a person does. For instance, let's say a person wants to get into a certain yeshiva. So, you study well for a beginner, you get good references. There are a whole bunch of pulos that one would say, this is the normal derech eretz, derech olam to do it. Then a person starts calling people like crazy. He starts calling everybody he knows to call them back up and this and that, the other thing. and you wonder, like, there's a clear sense that it's leaving Hanhaga of Teva, and there's no sense of Kashvach behind it. A person, God forbid, is sick. So he finds out who's the best in the field, who's really good to go to, what needs to be done, gets a second opinion, and does it. But there are people that don't stop running from one place to another place, and that kind of expresses the lack of bitachon. When he means ktsas, I think he means to do a pu'ula that fits into teva. This is normal. The ribui hishtadlus, where a person does too much, where a person, you sense, he's not doing it because this is what you're supposed to do, but he's doing it because it's way beyond something. The mashal I always give is, there was a very big heat of Chaim Friedlander, known for Sifsi Chaim, was Mashkir Panovich, a Talmud of Dessler, a big person, Adam Chashab Yosef, a very behind the person, and he had cancer, he had a brain tumor, fairly young age, in his late 50s I think, and the first time he went to Boston for his operation, the second time he came back, he refused to go. And he asked him why. He said, the first time, it was a sensible approach, and this is the teva. In other words, an operation is something which had reasonable chance of success. Boston was a better bet than Eretz Yisrael, and he went. Now, Abidach HaTeva, it's not a rational decision. But it's like a hysterical decision, like, okay, you know, that's going to boss, like this guy, that's going to the other one. It's not Hanhagas Teva, and it's not, you know, Pitachon. And that's why he refused it. There's a sense, what would a rational person tell you is the normal Pidach Teva? That I think he means the Shtadlus Me'at. It doesn't just mean do a little joke out of it, or, you know, whatever. It means an approach that makes sense. But when you get a rove, when you put everything into it, that's when you start getting this problem. I think that's the right balance. Okay, well, we'll hold it here.